So it's been said that to be spiritual is to have an abiding respect for the great mysteries of life and to see the fingerprints of the divine in the most ordinary objects and things. And so today we set out on a spiritual quest. Through our summer sermon series, we hope to find God as we engage a Bible story alongside the most ordinary things. We begin this morning appropriately with a road trip. So before we listen for God's word coming to us from the scriptures, let us turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Divine light, break through the darkness of our souls with the spotlight of your love and draw us onto your path. Open our eyes to see your way. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our hearts to your kingdom, breaking into this ordinary day. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 23 through 25. Listen now for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In his book called Finding, Having, and Being Enough, Wayne Muller tells the story of a rabbi who was struggling to regain a sense of purpose in his work. A much beloved spiritual leader in New York City, this man had provided reassuring answers for people who brought to him the difficult questions of their lives. He had walked with them through births and deaths, illness and loss, changes in fate and wealth. But since 9/11, he had struggled. Did he still have answers for those who sought his counsel? Did they leave his company feeling deeply loved and cared for? The rabbi reported that he'd gone to ground zero every day for many days after September 11th. "What did you do there?" Wayne Muller asked him. The rabbi paused. "Anything. Everything. I just wander around, and sooner or later I would find myself in the company of someone who needed something. I just did whatever was required, whatever seemed right at the time." But now the rabbi had begun to feel that this wandering around was no real ministry. "You know," Wayne Muller said, playfully looking up at the sky, "you just described the entire ministry of Jesus. If you read the Gospels carefully, what did he do? He wandered around, bumped into people, and then did whatever seemed necessary at the time." Yes, in today's gospel lesson, Matthew tells us that Jesus is wandering throughout Galilee. This is just after he's snatched Peter, Andrew, James, and John from their fishing nets and called them to wander with him. It is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, the beginning of what Wayne Muller describes as wandering and bumping. However, it is not without purpose. Where Jesus wanders, people gather around him, and he tells them what the kingdom of heaven is like. He captures their imaginations with stories of ordinary things that bring to life and to light the God who wants everyone to know that they are loved. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's like leaven hidden in a loaf of bread, or like a sower scattering seed on the soil. Ordinary things that open the imagination to the breaking in of the kingdom that is all about justice and joy, forgiveness, freedom, and peace. With every step Jesus takes, this kingdom emerges. In Jesus, it draws near. Where Jesus bumps into people with illness and touches them, healing happens. Bodies, minds, and spirits are restored. Whether he wanders into synagogues or sits down on a hillside to teach, word spreads. And pretty soon, the out-of-towners from Syria are making road trips of their own on the road to Galilee, where they will bring to Jesus those who are afflicted, and he will cure them. Making road trips because they are eager for a word from God, because their desire is for freedom from the dis-ease of daily life, because they want to learn trust again after being hurt. The roads from the surrounding regions of the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea fill with people who embark on journeys to discover the unbounded kingdom now breaking into their ordinary lives. So this summer, many of us will take the opportunity for a road trip. We'll jump in the car that carries us north or endure the security line at the airport to fly to an adventure in a distant place, or bike the trails or walk our neighborhoods. But Pastor Chris and I are wondering what it might mean for Crossroads if we together were to consider our summer worship to be a road trip of sorts, with no other purpose in mind than to experience God in the ordinary. Like the crowds who heard about this itinerant rabbi whose wandering and bumping mobilized a movement that ultimately reached the ends of the earth, we want to discover the unbounded kingdom that's breaking in among us. And that may require some wandering and bumping on our part. We often think of road trips as a means of getting from point A to point B as quickly and efficiently as possible. The road trip is what gets us to the destination where the real experience happens. When I was a child, every summer our family took a road trip from eastern Pennsylvania to northwest Ohio to visit my grandparents. In the days before seat belts and child safety car seats were the law of the land, my dad turned the back seat of the Pontiac into a cozy bed for my sister and I, and we drove through the night, stopping only when the gas tank emptied or the bathrooms were needed, 12 hours later arriving at our destination. To this day, my autopilot for a road trip is get in the car and go. Find the most efficient route. Avoid traffic and construction zones. Do not stop until you get there. Pretty much the opposite of wandering and bumping. So let's try another way, shall we? With the Bible as our navigational tool, let's meander and make some stops along the way this summer, looking for God in some ordinary things. Let's consider what lies off the beaten track of our busy, driven lives, where, as Psalm 33 tells us, the earth is full of the goodness of God, surrounded with the aliveness of the Spirit and accompanied by the risen Christ who goes ever before us on the road. Our souls long for God. Once on a road trip, I started paying attention to the names that automakers have given the cars they want us to buy. Escape, Quest, Voyager, Odyssey, Prelude, Sonata, Focus, Expedition. Funny, isn't it, how these names evoke the human desire for the open road? How even the names of our cars articulate a spiritual longing? And so we take to the road, and sometimes we find God In the beauty of creation, where wonder and awe are awakened, whether in the grandeur of a mountain or the minutiae of a wildfire, sometimes we find God as we endure discomfort and find resilience. Sometimes it's in slowing ourselves down from the pace of life, giving our minds and bodies time to process important questions about who we are and why we are here, that God is revealed to us. And sometimes we don't even have to go very far away from home. For on the streets we live, as we learn the names and stories of our neighbors, the kingdom of God draws near. I keep thinking about those who took to the roads in Galilee, about their desire for what Jesus would do for them, and about the trust it took to put one foot in front of the other, mile after mile, wandering until they bumped into Jesus. And it's led me to conclude that finding God on a road trip may be as much about our desire for God and the trust it always takes to keep opening our hearts to whatever God has to reveal to us, as it is about the sights we see out the car windows or the way we take to get there. It can be hard to trust again after you've been hurt, whether the hurt is personal, as it was for those who flocked to Jesus, or part of a shared experience with people you love, as it was for the rabbi in New York City. It can be especially hard to find God then. And so a road trip is in order, because in the wandering and bumping, in the doing whatever is necessary with and for each other, we learn and practice trust, the trust that helps us discover the kingdom that's breaking in all around us. As I was thinking about road trips as an opportunity to practice trust, a flood of memories came back to me. Stories about getting lost, feeling unsafe, or things happening beyond my control. Stories about having to depend on the kindness of strangers, or having to adjust when something happened to scuttle our carefully laid plans. I was going to tell you one of those stories, but then I realized I'm sure you have plenty stories of your own. You don't need mine. Stories that can help you remember how you've learned and practiced trust on a road trip and thereby found God. Experiences you now carry with you everywhere you go. Souvenirs you can pull out to bolster your courage with the evidence of the God who is found in the ordinary, when you need to learn and practice trust again. One day this week, I observed the children of our preschool on a road trip, en route from soccer camp upstairs in the gym, back to their classrooms. I encountered them in the narthex, where I bumped into them and was delighted to see one I recognized as the child of a Crossroads family stop as she passed by one of the video screens. "Look," she said to the little girl whose hand she was holding, inviting her friend to see the ordinary thing that had caught her eye on that screen. So, letting a little child lead us this morning, we'd like to try an experiment alongside our sermon series. We want to see if we can engage each other the way that little girl did during fellowship time after worship. Could we try a little wandering and bumping? This morning, interspersed with the slides announcing upcoming events, are slides containing simple questions designed to spark some story sharing. The same questions are also printed on your bulletins. Tell a story about getting lost. When have you depended on the kindness of a stranger? Who are your favorite traveling companions and why? Tell your own story about wandering and bumping. How has a road trip given you a new experience of God? Our invitation to you is this: As you catch up with the people you know after worship today, consider also striking up a conversation with someone you don't know so well, using one of those questions that pops up on the screen. The questions will help us all remember and tell the stories of the ordinary things in which we may find God, just as Jesus did. It has been written that the wind can be blowing, but if your sail isn't raised, you won't go far. You can be surrounded by oxygen, but if you don't breathe, it won't do you any good. If you don't have kindling and wood in your hearth, a lit match won't burn for long. And so all that remains is for us to make the road by walking. All that remains is for us to put one foot in front of the other with a desire to know and to be filled with more of the God whose kingdom is breaking in all around us. As the sermon ends, I'd like to invite your reflection on where you want to go in your life with God this summer. What is the purpose of this summer's road trip for you? In your life with God, what is your deepest desire? Pray and ask that God will meet you there. Traveling mercies, my friends. Thanks be to God. Amen.